So then I spoke to Lucas Giolito about you, and you may have seen this over the summer, but you faced him. And do you know what he said about what it was like to face you in intra-squad games with the White Sox?
Calls me at every once in a while, pain in his rear end.
You know, Andrew Vaughn's going to be a pain in the rear end for a lot of major league pitchers, and coming soon. Hey, everyone, it's Chuck Arfine. Welcome to the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust. All offseason, I wondered, will Andrew Vaughn be ready for the majors at the start of the season? Just because last year, he didn't have a season. There was no minor leagues for him to play in, so he was relegated to the White Sox alternate site in Schaumburg. So on the podcast, we're going to talk about that experience he had last year and where he's at right now as a hitter, how he's learning to be a DH, and how he's getting some pointers from one of the greatest DHs of all time here in camp, and that is Jim Thome. He talks about what Tony La Russa told him before spring training about fighting for a job, how La Russa's running spring training, and how Tony La Russa is commanding the clubhouse every time he speaks. So we got that and a whole lot more with Andrew Vaughn. Can't wait to see him mash in the majors. It's coming your way.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That ball hit deep, way back! Deep to left field!
Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark! You can't put it on the board! Yes!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
Hey, Andrew Vaughn, how you doing, man?
Good, Chuck. You know, hanging in there.
Just hanging in there, just going through spring training. I wanted to start with this, that, you know, you were a big topic of conversation amongst White Sox fans over the winter because, and I'm really glad to have you on the podcast so we can talk about it, because looking at you, I'm like, this guy is going to rake in the majors. He's just going to rake. He's got all the talent. But will he be ready after not having a minor league season? You can see why people like myself would be like asking these questions, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it was definitely difficult to deal with the whole coronavirus. I got into my first spring training, and then March 15th rolled around and they were like, all right, go home. It's over. And we were like, what do we do from here? So, yeah, it's definitely tough on everybody.
Yeah, when you got that message, were you wondering, like, how do I go from here? You guys are regimented athletes, and it was just like a stop, like never before.
Yeah, I mean, we really just had no idea. Like, they were just like, it's over for now, and we'll be in touch. So everybody kind of went their separate ways, and you just had to stay in shape any way you could. Everything shut down, so there was no gyms. You had to try to find a batting cage, and it was definitely a grind for a little while.
So where did you go?
We were hitting over at, it was called Dirtbag Ranch with Ryan Newman. His sons work out there. And I think Canerco has something to do with that complex. And so we were over there and we got our workouts in and got to hit.
So the season starts and you're in Schaumburg. What were you able to replicate? And maybe to put a positive twist on it, was there something that you were able to learn or get better at by being in an alternate site in Schaumburg than you wouldn't be able to replicate in the minor leagues, if there's even an answer to that question?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it logistically, I ended in high A, so hopefully I would have been in double A for the season. and getting straight to the alternate site, we were facing AAA and up and down major league arms. So I thought that was beneficial, getting to see the high talent on the mound. You got to compete against it. And I mean, we faced each other every week. So it was kind of funny. We'd have a competition, but it was definitely good to get the work in and be there for that amount of time and to spend time with the big league club in summer camp. So it was definitely beneficial, I thought, from having nothing to actually getting to work in.
All right. So who did you face the most and what was that experience like? I'm guessing you guys got sick of each other after a while.
Yeah, shoot. I feel like I faced everybody, like any starter that was there, Stever. I feel like I faced Stever 100,000 times. And we always joke about it. I'm like, what are you going to throw this at bat? What are you going to throw this? So he's like, what's your approach? And it's like, you just kind of go back and forth and joke with each other. And I don't know, try to make each other better with the circumstances.
How are you better this spring versus last spring as a hitter?
I think I came in more prepared. I knew what I needed to do this offseason to get into this season coming up and just worked on my body, worked on staying in shape and just trying to be the best version of myself.
So Garrett Crochet was there and then he got called up. So he basically did not have a season at all in college. And then he goes all the way to the majors. What did you think about his path and what he was able to do after just being drafted? And then he goes to Schaumburg and boom, he's in the majors pitching in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. What he threw in college, he didn't even get, he got like maybe four innings, I think, one start. And then he got drafted and saw us for like a couple weeks in Schaumburg. And then it was onto the show. And I mean, with his stuff, it's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. So he's got the full package.
Now, when you say you've never seen anything like it, what is it about it? I think I can gather what you're talking about, but I'd like to hear it from you.
Yeah, I mean, you get a lefty up there. He's 6'6", and he's got that funky leg kick, and then all of a sudden it comes out at you 101, 102 miles an hour, and you're like, whew, by you before you even saw it, and it's just – it's so impressive. And he's such a good guy. He's awesome. So I'm really happy for him.
So Jake Berger came on the podcast a couple of months ago, and he told a story, and maybe you were there, or you remember this, or maybe you don't, where – for some reason, Jake always had to be the guinea pig to go in first against Crochet.
all the righties did. All the righties had to be. The lefties wanted no part of it.
Exactly. So he struck out, he struck out, he struck out, and then he just ripped a double off the wall. And he said, like, it was like one of the greatest, he didn't say it was the greatest moment of his career, but he went into the clubhouse after the game and immediately texted his dad. He's like, I got him.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was a battle between everybody that was there. We were trying to get each other, and it made it fun.
So how did you do against Crochet?
What I do against Crochet? I think first at bat, it was like live at bats, but we weren't swinging off him. So I got to track it, but it's pretty hard to track. So next at bat, I think I got a couple hits off him. I think I'm like 2 for 3 off him with maybe a walk and a strikeout.
Okay. But
I will give him kudos. So when we were there, they had pitch limits. So in one of his last outings, the last pitch was 3-2 to me. And he just looked at me and he was like, here it comes. Here comes a fastball. And then I smoked it. And he was like, there you go.
So he awesome. Told you what was coming.
Oh, yeah. He gave me the heater sign. So here comes. Hit it.
Now, when you see what he was able to do, I mean, that was a quick grease lightning pace to the major leagues.
Yeah.
Is that what's on the back of your mind? Like, well, Crochet did it. I can do it.
Well, I mean, yeah. It would be really cool to do that. He never spent a day in the minor leagues, but I guess it's different for hitters. You kind of got to get used to the pitching. Going from college to professional pitching is a totally different animal. And I think it's definitely a good thing to get your work in and to feel it out and learn how to get with the grind, because you're playing every 3 days in college and you're not in pro ball. You're playing every day. It's your job. So it's definitely, I think it's a benefit.
So it sounds like you are hearing from Tony La Russa, you're competing for the DH job. What is your experience as a designated hitter?
So I did DH a little bit in my first minor league season, and a couple years back, I was actually told by someone, can't remember who it was, but it was on a summer ball team. And he was like, if you're playing DH, it's you got to play it like a position. You can't just be, I'm only hitting today. Because once you go up your first at-bat, say to, you have a good at-bat, but you end up striking out. And then you think about it for eight more hitters. And that's all you think about. And when you're playing defense, you get to go out in the field and kind of flush it. So I think the mentality is play it like a position, flush it, do something productive in the dugout, just get your mind off it and stay ready to go for that next AB.
Okay, so what do you do to get your mind off of it? What have you figured out what to do to stay in the game?
Yeah, it could be anything. You could be watching the game intently, pretending like you're playing a position, seeing what guys are doing, or say go in the cage, get some swings in, and just stay loose. You don't want to get locked up sitting on the bench thinking.
You know, there is a guy in camp who knows a thing or two about DHing.
Yeah.
By the name of Jim Thome.
Yes, he does.
You should talk to Jim Thome if you haven't already.
Yeah, we talk pretty much every day just about random stuff. We'll be, say we're doing live at bats, he's back there and he'll come up to me. He's like, what are you looking for here? And I'll say, and I'll be like, what did you do here? Like, what was your thing? We talked, we were like, when you faced live, did you want to see more pitches or did you want to get your swing off? And for him, it was, he wanted to see pitches. And I'm kind of the same way. I want to see that velocity, get my timing back and then start striking.
I think Sox fans would appreciate this. You know, I'm fortunate as a media member to kind of watch what goes on. Jim Thome is locked in, right? Like with you guys.
He is 100% in it. And he has every one of our backs and he pumps all of us up. And he's just truly a great guy.
Yeah. Because I know how difficult it is to DH in the majors, just from what people tell me. And you potentially could be coming to the majors as a DH. So are you going to be, it's interesting because you're probably going to play some first base, obviously in spring, but would you almost want to just be DHing in spring training to learn how to DH more so than playing some first base, or is not that in your mind right now?
I mean, for me right now, I just want to go out and play whatever position I got to do to get in the lineup. That's my goal. Personally, anything I can do to contribute, mm-hmm. You know, team is so loaded this year, just looking from top to bottom, the whole organization, there's pitching that is just unbelievable. I mean, look at our staff, you know it, and the bats we have, it's phenomenal, and I just want to be a part of that.
And it's a good position for you to be in because you're not going to have to carry the team. There are, you know, high first-round draft picks who, when they get to the majors, the team is like, okay, the spotlight is on you, you're batting third or fourth or fifth, go. You're not going to be in that situation, are you?
Yeah, I mean, you can't, I don't like to think about it. I don't like to get too deep into it because I'm not there yet. The spot is still not sealed. No one has it. And like Tony's been saying, you just got to go out there and play every day and earn your stripes.
Yeah. So what did you think about that? La Russa, he may have told you guys that, but he said to us in the media, we're not going to give you, Andrew Vaughn, the job. You got to earn it.
Yeah, we actually talked early in camp. I think it was before camp started. And he was like, go out there and fight for a job and just be yourself and go out there and do it. And it was simple, straight to the point. And I was like, yes, sir. Like, let's go.
Now, why do you like that from a manager saying that to you in that way?
It was straightforward. And it was just man to man. Like, hey, like, this is what I want you to do. Like, work your butt off and go out there, be yourself and play the game right.
Yeah, it's only been a little bit, but what are you learning about La Russa as a manager?
He's so intelligent. He knows the game so well. He knows how to get things done in a certain way that everybody understands. And he does everything with a purpose, and he explains that. And like our drill set, like spring training's been, everything is so meticulous, and I think it's going to benefit this squad immensely.
What's meticulous about it, if you can kind of explain it?
Yeah, we're working on the fundamentals. Mm-hmm. Like right now, he's kind of set the stage for the first part of spring training is fundamentals, and then we're going to progress like spring training should be, and everybody's going to be A1 ready to go day one of the season.
So it's kind of like a slow, gradual thing?
Yeah, I guess you could say gradual, but it's you get your work in. It's not like a cakewalk in the park. You're going to go out there, and everybody's busting their butts and doing their hard work, so that is what's going to lead to a successful team and win a lot of ball games, hopefully.
Okay. So now I have to say some nice things about you. from other people. So I asked Justin Gershley about you. Gersh, who was your manager at High A, and he's now going to be the manager in Double A. Here's what he said about you when you got called up to High A. He said he was with us for about a month, month and a half. He won over the clubhouse within the first week. He was one of the guys. He's a leader. He shows by example that he's a leader. Guys follow him. Guys gravitate towards him, watching him do his work. So how much did you pay Justin Gershley to say that about you?
Nothing. I didn't say to him nothing, but he's such a guy. I mean, it helps when you have a manager like that. When I was first pro season, especially like Ryan Newman in Kannapolis too, they had open arms when I came in, and they helped me. They showed me the ropes, and they allowed me to be the player I want to be.
That's so key, right? They're not saying, hey, do this, do that. They're saying, be yourself.
Yeah. And I think that it was very, very beneficial.
So I asked Gersh if there's a player that Andrew reminds him of. Now, before I tell you who the player is, do you ever hear anything about who is a comp for you? Like who you remind people of?
I guess I get the Josh Donaldson all the time with the swing, but let's go with this one. When I was a little kid, I wanted to play like Pedroia. That was my comp. I wanted to play the game as hard as he did. So hopefully there's something in there about that.
Ooh, but that's good. That, you know what that shows me? The motor in you. Because when people see you, they might not think Pedroia, but like I want everyone on my team to have a Pedroia in them, right? Is that what you see in yourself when you see him?
Yeah, it's the mentality. He's a grinder. He goes out there. He was working his butt off. He took every at bat. He took his swings, and he played the game so hard. And that's just what I want to do. I want to play the game hard and play it right.
Yeah, that's good. So here's Gersh's comp for you. And I see it. He goes, I see a little bit of Billy Butler when he was young. A little bit of the wider stance, the big strong legs, and the bat to ball is really powerful.
Okay.
What do you think? You don't like that one.
Let me think of the video. I saw a video of Butler. It was on Twitter. He was with the A's at the time. He took a fastball low and didn't like it. Guy called it a strike. Next pitch just hit an absolute moonshot and just did one of the TA bat flips and chucked that thing, looked back at the catcher, and it was – I love that part.
You know, whenever Billy Butler was up – by the way, he crushed the White Sox, just crushed them when he played. And when he was up, you were just like, okay, he is here to play and mash. Mash, and your setup is similar, and I think your mindset is similar, because when you're up, like, you have this thing like give me that baseball, I want to crush this thing. And you know, not that you're always trying to hit home runs, but you want to hit the ball hard, right?
Yeah, you want to be aggressive and hit that puppy.
All right, so then I spoke to Lucas Giolito about you, and you may have seen this over the summer, but you faced him. And do you know what he said about what it was like to face you in intra-squad games with the White Sox?
He calls me it every once in a while, a pain in his rear end.
He says that to your face?
Oh, he said it after. He was like, dude, come on.
You made it a tough at bat for him, right? That's a compliment and a half.
Yeah, I mean, that is the goal, go in there, you got to make the pitcher uncomfortable too. It's not the pitcher making you uncomfortable. You got to win that battle over him. And no matter who it is, I mean, look at Giolito. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. So I was just like, hey, like, let's go.
Now that's good. Here's a guy who is one of the best pitchers in baseball. You are a rookie. You've just been drafted basically, you know, and then you're playing against him and you're like, let's go. I'm going to be a pain in your ass. And you were.
Yeah. That's the mindset.
Yeah. So he said that, you know, you haven't played above High A, but you have a major league approach and a major league swing, and you've got great plate discipline. He says you're the full package. So I don't know how much money you gave Giolito, to say that. But since he is, you know, a player in the game, I'm assuming that costs more money than what you had to pay Gershley to say about you.
Yeah, that one was hefty, but no, he's Gio's awesome. I appreciate those words a ton, and he's a great guy, and just that means a lot.
Were you watching the White Sox play on TV while you were in Schaumburg? Like when you finished your work, whatever it was, did you like? Were you how much were you watching what was going on in the major leagues?
So I tried to watch for the first week of the season, but they had the blackout, so I couldn't watch because we were in Chicago. So I was all mad about that and had to find a way around it, and then ended up watching most of the games.
Wait, what do you mean blacked out in Chicago? That doesn't make any sense. They were on our channel.
Well, I didn't have cable.
Oh.
I was on the MLB Network. And then, it was like blacked out, so we couldn't watch it. And then we had to figure a way around it, a VPN thing, and ended up locking it in.
Okay. So when you watched, how much were you watching the White Sox? How much were you watching the pitchers in a way, like doing some scouting for yourself to see what's coming whenever you get to the majors?
Yeah. I mean, that's how I have to watch the game. I don't like to watch too much baseball, but when I do watch it, it's intently, and it's, you're watching guys pitch. You're like, oh, like what would I do here? What would I do in this at bat? But I mean, mostly it was watching my guys like Madrigal make his debut, Dunning, Stever, all the guys that were in Schaumburg that went up. I think that was really satisfying to watch as well.
Were you wondering if you're going to get a call to the majors while you're in Schaumburg?
I mean, that's the ultimate goal. And while we were there, and you always hope for that, but if it doesn't happen, you just got to keep grinding and make your way through the roads and hopefully get there.
Now, you said you don't really watch too much baseball. Why is that?
I don't know. I like watching fishing. It's kind of weird, but that's my thing to watch because I love to fish. So when we're playing baseball, I don't get to fish. So I try to get as much in as I can.
So you're watching fishing shows?
Yeah, I go on YouTube a little bit and watch some guys.
Well, have you talked to Adam Eaton about fishing yet?
Haven't got too deep into it. We've scratched the surface, and I think we're going to get something together with Tomy. Because Tomy's probably bass fishing somewhere up north, so we got to make that happen.
Oh, you're going to be in heaven. You've got Tomy and Eaton. So Eaton took me to a secret place to go fishing. Has he told you about the secret place that he doesn't like to share about where it's at?
Okay, no, he hasn't told me. I need to learn about this one.
Okay, so it's called the Honey Hole. That's what they call it. Okay. And it's so private that when we went with him, this is like 5 years ago, he blindfolded us on the drive out there because he did not want us to know where we were going. And we were in like I was going to share with the world where this place was. Like it was in the middle of nowhere.
Taking selfies of the place, sending it there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we did film it. We did film where we were, but no one would have any idea where we were at. So, wow, this sounds like a quite a journey. You, Tomy, and Eaton going fishing. So
got to make it happen. Got to make it happen.
Yeah. So what kind of what do you like to fish? What do you like to catch the most?
I think all time, steelhead fishing would be my favorite because it's the toughest and they fight the hardest. But any fish that'll bite, I like to go catch it.
You like the fight?
Yeah, that's what I'm in it for.
All right, what's the longest fight you've had with a fish, time-wise?
Some tree fish take a long time if you think they're an actual fish. But I had it was like a 30-pound salmon I caught when I was younger, and it took probably 20 minutes to reel it in.
That's a long time.
It was a long one. And then you got to think about our boat was maybe like 18 feet long and we're going through 9-foot swells. So you'd go up, couldn't see anything around you. You'd be on top. You could see and go down. And oh, my goodness.
But how old were you?
It's like 12, maybe 13.
Look at you. That's a commitment.
Back in the day. Got it done.
Well done. And I want to ask you about Gavin Sheets because from the sounds of it, he's crushing the ball in batting practice so far.
Yeah, he's doing awesome. We're actually roommates right now. you've gotten pretty close, and he's doing awesome. Me and him kind of had the same weight loss journey this year. We both did really well with eating, and both came in ready to rock and roll.
So why did you want to lose weight?
Just because I feel like just wanted to better myself and get in the best shape I could possibly be in to put myself in the right positions, get more mobile, get more strength and everything to just excel.
Yeah. The one thing I try to tell myself is when whatever you are what you eat, right? So if you are putting junk in your body, your body's going to be filled with some junk, right? Is that was, so you wanted to change your eating habits so you'd feel better. What was behind that?
Yeah. I just learned what foods were good for me and what foods like would cause inflammation and help me sleep and help me not sleep. And just getting to learn all that stuff really helped know what to put in to get the best out of my body, which has been really helpful.
All right. So what can you not eat so you don't get inflamed?
So for me, it's dairy products are not good for me. I mean, I wouldn't say they're not good for me, but it's something that causes inflammation in the body for me. And my two favorite snacks in the world that I never knew about were cashews and pistachios. Totally not good for me. Broke my heart.
Now, how did you find this out? Did you go to a doctor and you found out what was right or wrong for you, or they're just not good for anybody?
No, I did a blood test to see what foods react which way in my body, and those are the results that came back.
How about Gavin? What can he not eat now? Watch. Gavin's test came back, and he's encouraged to have cashews and pistachios.
Oh, goodness. It'd be tough because I'd want to steal them.
Yeah.
Can't do that to myself, though.
Okay, so you guys both lost about – how much weight did you guys lose?
I don't think it was a huge number. We both just transformed a lot. I think it was really good for our on-field abilities.
So it's interesting. You guys are both first basemen. You both have high pedigree, and you're both trying to make it to the majors, and you're roommates.
Yeah.
Is there some competition there? I'm sure you want the best for him. He wants the best for you.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I think we push each other. And we both know that, and I think it's good for us.
That's interesting. Because you're watching what he's doing. You're like, well, if he's doing that, I got to do this.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's like super competition out there trying to beat each other up, but it's like, hey, like, let's go. Like, let's do this thing.
That's good. That's good. And why do you guys get along so well?
I think we have kind of like the same background. We're both down to earth people, pretty quiet. We like to hunt and fish, and we just relate pretty well.
Nice. So the games are starting on Sunday. How much are you just looking forward to playing in a game? Like no offense to Schaumburg.
you don't know. It's been too long.
Yeah. Like your last game was a year ago, I think, right? Like spring training a year ago.
Almost a year ago, like March 14th or 13th, whatever day it was. So yeah, it's been almost a year.
Wow. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what you can do in spring training and with the White Sox, whenever that's going to be. And I'm excited for you. I think this is like, if I was to be a rookie going onto a team, this is the team I'd want to be on. Like this kind of situation with the talent and with this coaching staff. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, our team is unbelievable. Top to bottom staff, all the veterans, all the young guys, everybody's in it to win it. And you can feel the vibe around the clubhouse that it's really what everybody's been saying. World Series or bust. Everybody's going for it, and it's awesome to be a part of. I will say that.
And how much is Tony commanding the room when he talks to you guys?
When he walks in the room, his presence is known. It's one of those. He's a Hall of Fame manager. The guy knows his stuff. He's been around the game, and when he walks in and he starts talking, everybody's eyes are on him.
What's he been saying to you guys?
He's about family, about team, about brotherhood. And he preaches that. And that's what makes good teams even better. Like he says, we have the talent. We now just need to get that group together and get going on the same path.
Yeah, nothing against any of your former managers, but did they not have what he had in terms of, he walks into a room and the words carry a lot of weight.
Yeah, I mean, I loved Ricky. Ricky was awesome. I didn't get to be around him a whole lot just because spring got cut short and then summer camp and going to Schaumburg. So, I mean, I have little experience with both of them, but I'm definitely looking forward to being around Tony and getting going.
Okay. All right. Well, the season will be upon us pretty soon, and we'll see what Andrew Vaughn can do. Oh, and then listen, hold on, one more thing. You've been playing some first. Are you playing other positions too? Because you want any chance to get to the majors, I'm imagining.
Yeah, I mean, whatever position they need me to play, I'd go out there and play. But been working at third. That's just to keep my feet moving. Been working at first. And I guess those would be considered my primary positions since they won't let me pitch anymore. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen. But, yeah, just been working out at first and getting my feet working and getting ready to go.
All right. So I was going to actually ask you about pitching. Then I was thinking, maybe I won't, but you just brought it up. You went there. You were a pitcher. People don't even know that you were a pitcher in high school. I saw your record. You're like 17-6. Maybe your senior year or over. Was it senior year or 17-6?
No, I think that was overall in high school. I think my senior year, I had pretty good numbers. I don't remember exactly what they were. I'm pretty sure I made like second team all state, something like that in California.
Damn.
Yeah.
How hard can you throw?
I don't remember.
Yes, maybe, you do.
Maybe 90. In high school, it was maybe that hard. Okay. Straight, real straight. I would like to hit off myself if I was pitching. Let's just say that.
Yeah. That's the best answer you can give. If everyone, because I'm sure you guys, you'll eventually get this question asked to you. Who's the pitcher you want to face the most? You should say myself.
Me, myself, and I, baby.
Well, if there ever comes a time, we never want this for the White Sox, but it happens when a bullpen is torched and they need to find an arm and a position player. Are you ready to be that guy?
Knuckleballs only. Just fling them in there.
You can throw a knuckleball?
It's not very good. But I hope that never has to happen, and I don't think it will.
Yeah, with this bullpen, I believe those days are behind us.
I don't go 95 either, so it's, I can't get in a. I don't think I can get in a bullpen anywhere.
No. Okay, so who would you rather face, Crochet or Bummer?
Oh goodness, terrible question. That's a tough one to answer. Holy smokes! let's think about this. Well, I face Crochet more. So let's say Crochet, because I've seen his stuff. I know what he's got. I think I've only faced Bummer one time, and he got me to ground out with his nasty little sinker. So,
how good is that sinker?
Good. It's elite.
Yeah.
It's real deal.
Well, you're the real deal, and looking forward to what happens with you in 2021 and beyond. Andrew Vaughn, thanks for being with me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, me, Chuck. I appreciate it.
All right. And that's a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to their special White Sox webpage. It's www.wintrust.com/Sox. My thanks to Andrew Vaughn. And my thanks to all of you for listening. Hawk Harrelson, take it away.
Thanks, our Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast is over.